Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his tracks. Proverbs 5:21. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. We spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our reading today. As always, realizing the importance of being in proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ as we study His Word. God has given to us many magnificent and wonderful blessings. One of those blessings, of course, is the opportunity to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit and ready to receive the dissemination, proclamation of the wonderful Word of God. Many privileges in life for all of us as believers, none greater than what we're doing now as we turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon these eternal truths. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we have this opportunity to open our hearts to your magnificent, glorious, wonderful Word. We realize again how important it is for us to accept and receive the dissemination of truth. Nothing in life can change us any more than that. And so we pray that we will understand that you have instructed us to have the mind, the thinking of Jesus Christ. And that's our reason for being here again today. We realize how important it is for us to study. We ask that you'll bless us in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen and on the back of today's bulletin, you see Revelation 3:18, which says, I counsel you to buy from me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich in white raiment, that you might be clothed, and that may not be manifested the shame of your nakedness. Putting that smoothly, the shame of your nakedness may not be manifested. And I salve to anoint your eyes in order that you may see. To be a healthy Christian, don't treat the Bible as snack food. I'm sure that all of you, perhaps, have had this experience. I have. I love the sight of cows lying in the field, chewing their cud. But what is a cud? To some of you young folk, you may not even be aware of the fact that a cow chews its cud. Why do they spend so much time chewing the cud? Now, I don't know whether you've ever done this, but if you study the body of a cow, you will find it unusual in that the cow has four compartments, or as some describe it, four stomachs. Cows first fill their stomach with grass and other food, and then they settle down for a long chew. They bring the food back up from the second stomach to the first stomach, as I understand it, which is for the purpose of assimilating the goodness and transforming that food into rich, creamy milk. That's time consuming. On the farm, I saw this many times. The old cows out there chewing their cud. A waste of time, you may say. Not if you want real good, rich, creamy milk. The phrase chewing the cud is used to describe, I believe, the ability to think and meditate. There's no fast food in the Bible. The Word of God is so fantastic, and it is designed in such a way that God's Word will strengthen us against sin. That's what Psalm 119:11 says. Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. In other words, God's word is designed to strengthen us on a day-by-day basis. God's word is designed also for us to find delight in learning more about our Heavenly Father. And that's what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 119, 15 and 16. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. God's word is designed for us to be strengthened against sin, to cause us to find delight in learning more about him. And then, of course, God's word is designed for us to discover many, many wonderful spiritual truths so beautifully designed and presented to us in Psalm 119, verse 18, which says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy word. The word of God also is designed in such a way that we can find counsel for our daily living, presented to us in Psalm 119, verse 24, which says, thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. I have given you some magnificent verses of Scripture. We're to meditate day by day on the Word of God. God's Word, as I've already said, is not meant to be fast food. We're to take time for a long chew. This information was presented by the little book, Our Daily Bread. At the bottom of that, here's what I read. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. We have before us today a magnificent verse of Scripture. We looked at it very briefly last Wednesday night. I went home to realize that there are many things that I did not present to you just in the introduction last Wednesday. What I did is, you'll remember, I said I get excited when I read the word of God and look at the various verbs that are found. And I have found and presented this to you last Wednesday night, that in this verse of Scripture, there are 8 different major verbs. And as I analyze this, I put down words like counsel, by, tried, rich, clothed, manifested, anoint, see. Now these are the words that I have found in this passage of Scripture. But always it's wonderful to have a companion. And it's wonderful, after 60 years of having a companion, to be reminded sometimes of their things that I may say that may not give the total meaning. When I see it and I understand it and I accept it, but I'm always encouraged when there are others who help me out a little bit. And so I was reminded of the fact that the word rich, if you look at it in the English, rich would be classified either as an adjective or as a noun, but probably you would not see it as a verb. You see what I'm saying? So my wife reminded me of that, and I said, you know what? That's right. And then on the way home, I gave her the Greek. It's always good to give them the Greek. If anybody has any trouble with me, I give them the Greek, and then they don't know whether I'm right or wrong, and so I just I get them quiet real fast. And so I told her what the word was in the Greek. And I said, that is a verb. But I decided that, with her encouragement, that it might be good if I let you see how some of these words are used, so that you would not be confused. So we're going to take a little time today before we draw some conclusions to let you look at this. I'm excited about it, and I want you to see it. If you'll notice, the verse says, I counsel you, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. Now let's look at some of those words. I'm not going to go into a long discussion on the various aspects of the Greek word, other than to tell you that the first expression is, because it has a little omega at the end, that would be translated I. In other words, it's the first person singular of a verb. And you conjugate a verb, and you take it through various categories. And so that immediately tells me that I'm not to just say to you, counsel. I'm to say, I counsel. You see the difference? So I just want you to see that I'm trying to let you understand that when I, in a few moments, use the word rich, I'm not talking about it being rich from the standpoint of looking at it in the English. We're looking at it from the standpoint of how it is in the original text. So I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm just trying to clarify so that we can appreciate how fantastic the Word of God is. What's also interesting is that you will find verbs that emphasize what is known in the text is an ingressive. And the ingressive would mean it's something at the beginning, something at the very beginning of that situation. Now, you won't see this in the English. You have to see it in the original text. There is also an expression in the Greek which is called a tendential, which is this right here, which is known as a tendential present tense, which means something that is purposed, but not necessarily taking place. You see? So if I tell you that this verse says, and the Lord is saying through John to these people in the church at Laodicea, I advise you. It's a tendential present tense, which means it's something that is purposed, but it is not necessarily taking place. You see how fantastic this is? Now, I don't want to spend all my time on that particular aspect, but I want you to see that this right here is I advise you. And the Lord says, I keep on doing it. And so the indicative mood is the mood of reality. Let's move on. I advise you to buy. Now notice the difference here. This is an indicative verb, which means reality. This is an INF, which is an infinitive verb, which simply means a wish or desire. So the Lord is saying, I advise you to desire in your hearts to go to me to make your purchases. Don't go to the malls of the world. Don't go to the prosperity mall or the entertainment mall or whatever mall. You come to me to buy. In other words, what I put in my notes, Jesus wants to do business with us. Do we really want to do business with Him? That's what this is saying. So He says, I advise you to buy. And I'm going to emphasize again that this is at a point of time. You begin in aggressive areas. You begin to desire to buy, to study God's Word, to come back to class, to get in God's mind on a day-by-day basis. I counsel you to buy from me. And then if you'll notice, please, it says, I advise you to buy from me gold. Now, what is emphasized here is that gold is a reference to the most important aspect of purchasing. In other words, not silver, not any of these other things, but gold. Then it says, being tried. Now, look with me just for a few moments at this word right here. Do you see it? P-U-R-O-O. Now, that means to purify something, to burn out all the dross, to get rid of all the infirmities, all of the difficulties. But notice, please, how this word is used. It says being tried. It's been tried in the past. That's why it's a perfect tense verb. It's been proven in the past. It stands proven now. It will ever be proven as successful, which tells me the Word of God has been successful in the past. It continues to be successful. It's successful now. It will always be successful. No matter where you hear the Word of God is the Word of God, and it is successful. It has been tried and proven. That's what it is saying. Now, if you'll do this, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be rich. Now, I'm not taking the word in the English. I'm taking it from the original text. So I had to write this out for you to be able to see. And I discussed this with my sweet companion of these many years. And I told her that this is the word pluteo. Now, you know, it's a wonderful way to discuss things going home from church. It discussed the Greek word pluteo. And I explained to her that the word plutos is the word rich, and the word plutocrat is the word we get the rich from, or a person who's a plutocrat is a rich person. But this is a verb, and it says pluteo, which means to become rich. Okay. Jesus is saying to these people there, and he is saying to us today, that there's no such thing as snack food. There's no such thing as fast food for us. We are to have God's Word, take it seriously, study it diligently, do it frequently, so that we can utilize the mind of Jesus Christ and become spiritually rich. You see how fantastic that is? Now, let me go on to show you. It's an aorist tense, which means a point of time. The active voice says the believer can choose whether he's going to do it or not. Do any of you know what that means right there? S-U-B-J? You smart Greek students. That's a subjunctive mood, which may be yes and it may be no. In other words, people can choose to either be rich or not rich spiritually. And so that's the reason why it is an aorist active subjunctive verb. Now, let's go on very quickly. And it says, and I have not disappeared. The rapture has not occurred. And you thought maybe you missed it and I was the only one who went. That's not true. That you may be. Dina, I'm glad you could laugh about that. May be clothed. Now, this is saying that you and I can have some spiritual clothing. But already, most of you have seen this. You see that it is also a potential subjunctive verb. People can choose to be clothed spiritually or not clothed to be spiritually. All right, let's go on very quickly. That you may be clothed. I love these words because the word periballo, ballo is, for instance, we could say the word ball. But peri is what is known as a prefix or a preposition, which means around. And so it means to throw around. And so in the ancient days, many of their types of clothing were throw-arounds. Well, some of them are throw-arounds now. Most of them are thrown off. But anyway, you got that? So anyway, maybe clothed. Now, please notice something else. And I want you to see how valuable it is for your preacher to be able to tell you this, not asking you to know all these things, but you need to understand how fantastic and powerful the Word of God is. Maybe clothed. Then what else does it say? I want to read it here. It says that you may be rich and white garments, that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And there's the word manifested. And here's again that subjunctive mood, which may or may not be true. Then it goes on to say, and we'll go quickly with this. It says that individuals need the eye salve. And in those days, they had a collyrium, which is a type of eye salve that they use. And it says, if you'll accept what God has to offer for your spiritual sight, you may or may not do it, but you have to have a desire to have this. It's an infinitive verb again, which emphasizes infinitive mood, which says you may or may not have that desire, but if you do, you'll be able to see. But seeing is also determined by your acceptance of what God has to offer. And the word is blepo, and it is also the subjunctive mood. Now I would love to stay a lot longer there. Can you imagine how much fun I would have if I stayed a lot longer there? Some people just will not take a hint. Being hungry is a wonderful thing in life. But when hungry, getting satisfying food is more wonderful. What I've discovered over the years, because we've been able to eat out with a lot of you folks over the years, I can see how you enjoy eating. When we have our Christmas party, I see how you enjoy eating. I've heard you sing, and I've also heard some of you eat. But I'm telling you, it's wonderful. I'd rather hear you sing than eat. But anyway, I've heard both. Some people would just not take a hint. Being hungry is a wonderful thing, but getting satisfying food is more wonderful. Notice what I said here. Being hungry for spiritual food is a wonderful thing. But when hungry, getting satisfying spiritual food is more wonderful. And that's why we're here. Every time we come here, the purpose is to receive spiritual food for our souls. And then I wrote a little note. It is so sad that many folk will go through life and die without a hunger for spiritual food. Now that's sad, isn't it? They are careless in the most important factor of life. And so I'm going to deal today with the fact that people are careless. And as a result of being careless, I would classify that as dangerous indeed. So let's put some points down these few moments. The danger of being careless. I advise you, the scripture says, and I'm repeating it several times, you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. It's important for me to point out the fact that every word here is important. The Lord says, I advise you, we're going to let this be not just for the people in Laodicea, but for us here today. I advise you to purchase from me. Did you notice it doesn't say from the world, it says from me. Gold that's already been proven, refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Point one, there's only one market from which to buy what Jesus has to offer, and that's from me. Isn't it interesting that he says it that way? I advise you to buy from me. So there's only one market from which to buy what Jesus offers, and that's from me. Secondly, to obtain satisfaction, the Laodiceans did not need to run to the malls of wealth, and neither do we. The malls of opportunity, the malls of prosperity, the malls of materialism are religions. Jesus wants to do business with us. I've already said that. And he's saying, what I have proven and tried in the fire is okay. This is a spiritual transaction which will result in quality of life. I have an interesting time as I think these things out and try to write them out for you. I've tried to abbreviate it in such a way, and yet I don't want to abbreviate so you miss what I'm saying. So let's look again. To obtain satisfaction, the Laodiceans did not need to run to the malls of wealth, and neither do we. Malls of opportunity, malls of prosperity, malls of materialism, malls of religion. Jesus wants to do business with us. And he says, what I've proven in the fire, you can rest assured it's everything that you need. This is a spiritual transaction which will always result in a quality, fantastic quality of life. Number three, Jesus also wants the Laodiceans in this passage of Scripture to purchase white garments from him. It's interesting to me that he didn't say black or any other color. He says, purchase white garments. In other words, continually entering into a transaction with him keeps us covered from disgrace. That's a powerful statement, and I want you just to think about it. Continually entering into a transaction with him keeps us covered from disgrace. In other words, what our Lord puts on us keeps us modest, away from disgraceful acts, away from exposure. He keeps us from behavior that brings embarrassment. I need to just get quiet and let you think about that for an hour or two. Jesus wants the Laodiceans, and Jesus wants us to adorn ourselves with white garments, which means that we're continually entering into a transaction with him that keeps us covered from disgrace. Wherever you go and whatever you do and whatever you say is a result of what you're thinking. And what you're thinking determines what you say and what you do. And if you think properly God's thoughts, you will be kept from disgrace. What our Lord puts on us keeps us modest, away from disgraceful acts and exposure. He keeps us from behavior that brings embarrassment. Number four, the Lord wanted these folk to buy eye salve that allows spiritual sight and vision. Now, perhaps you remember that we emphasized the fact that in Laodicea, there was a great medical school. And there was a lot of emphasis on the medicines and eye salve. And there was an emphasis on a product that they called collyrium. And we won't get into all the discussion there. But it was a type of a salve that they put on their eyes. The Lord wanted these individuals to understand that they needed spiritual sight and spiritual vision. Number five, our Lord is saying by this subjunctive verb, see, the verb is blepo, that the eyes must be well and then keep on seeing. Just for a few moments, review. These individuals, many of them in the church at Laodicea, had advanced properly over a period of time. Not all of them. Some of them moved up and up and up as they advanced spiritually to, I believe, that they got to the point of the peak of the mountain of the echo zone of their Christian lives. And then their eyes began to focus because of their lack of spiritual eye salve, their focus began to be on their material possessions, on their wellness, their richness, and all of these things. And they began to lose their sight of how great God is. And they began to lower their attention and focus it upon the material things of life. And what the Lord said to them was, you need to recover. So God, through His Word, advises all of us as individual priests to recover. It's God's purpose, number two, to give the information, but people must be willing to receive and act upon it as they receive it. It's always important for me to realize that I stand here and communicate. It's one thing for me to do that. It's another thing for you to hear and then be perceptive to what you hear. And then it goes beyond that. You have to take what you hear and metabolize it, mix it with faith, Hebrews 4:2, and then utilize that truth on a day-by-day basis. So it's God's purpose then to give information, but people must be willing to receive and act upon it. Number three, many of the church in Laodicea, it appears, had reached, as I've already said, the stage of Christian advance where God would bless them in a tremendous way. In the next session, we're going to deal with that word capacity, but let's just look at it. For some reason, number four, whatever reason, I don't know, but for some reason, the major focus of these individuals, and I use the word dwindled, I sat there and thought about what word can I use to describe what happened to these individuals. Their capacity dwindled. Are you with me? Do you see what could happen to you and me? The eyes moved from the source of the blessings down to the blessings. And the Lord said, buy from me the source. Get back in harmony. Get back to class. Regain by perception your capacity. Understand that the word gold is the word which is of intrinsic value. Pure spiritual riches. Nothing more important to us than that. Do you understand that there are people out there who are dying unsaved? And the scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And you realize that there are people who are just, it seems like that you could, they're up against a blank wall, a concrete wall. They don't understand. They cannot comprehend how long eternity is. They don't even understand that one of these days they're going to die. How far is a person away from eternity? One breath, one heartbeat. Why do people not see this? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? If a person has materially everything, but no gold, he's a pauper. And that's the reason Matthew 16:26 says, what profit if one gains the whole world, but the soul is lost? Let's move very rapidly to the last points here. Gold symbolizes God's righteousness, which can only be received from Jesus Christ. When one receives Jesus Christ by faith, God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I found this passage of Scripture in Romans 3:22, which says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for those who believe. That's Romans 3:22. Point 10. In order that you may be rich, what kind of wealth did they need? They had experienced worldly possessions. And then I wrote myself a little note and put it in parentheses. Gold, clothing, eye salve represents three major industries in Laodicea: banking, textiles, and medicines. And the wonderful thing is some of them understood how important it was to have a right relationship with Christ. And some of them didn't. Some of them who had advanced over a period of time. It's dangerous, folks, for you to advance over a period of weeks and months and years and then get your eyes off of the Lord and begin to focus on all these other insignificant things of life. We're going to deal with the subject of capacity for life in the next session. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, help us to understand how important it is to have the thinking of Jesus Christ. Help us to be able to see that you're giving us advice here, counsel here, and we are to purchase from the only one who has what we desperately need. So help us to be willing on a day-by-day basis to understand the importance of having the thinking of our Savior. We realize that you've given us this magnificent book. You've given us our roadmap. Help us to accept what you've provided for us. And for the individuals who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we realize that this magnificent book tells us that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ, who said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." Father, we realize that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not anything that we've done. It's our acceptance of the salvation package. You've given us everything we need. We realize that the Scripture says, "But as many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name." We pray that there will be those who will trust You even now. And we thank You over and over again for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. He called it today.